Hello, and welcome to the Survivor Historians, the only Survivor podcast that has never actually had an advertisement on our show until today. As always, I'm Mario Lanza.
And I'm Jay Fisher.
And this is Paul Aslison. And I'm Mike Bloom.
And we are here today for a special episode of Survivor Historians. Now, as I said before, we don't normally have ads on this show. That's something I've been very adamant about since we first started Historians, that we're not really like other podcasts. We don't really like have feed drops and ad drops and stuff. I try to keep it kind of unprofessional. But at the same time, I do want people to know that we know our crap. What we're talking about, this is the history of Survivor, and we really want to get that across to people. And the reason I'm kind of doing this special episode today is because I have some friends, I know some people through various contacts through the media that are putting together a similar type of show to Historians, and it's called Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV. It's a new podcast that basically does what we're doing here on Historians, except it's on a broader scale. Like, we just obviously just specify to Survivor. They go more into like The Bachelor, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, The Real World. So what I said is, we'd like to kind of help you get going on your podcast again. They're just starting it out. It's a very broad-based podcast. I know some of the people involved, and I'm like, Historians, we have a pretty big audience. And I think our audience, what people are interested in when they listen to us, they would very much be interested in listening to you too. So we kind of worked it out, and they said, hey, can we give you a little feed drop? You can give people a taste of what Spectacle is going to be, what their history of reality TV show is going to be. So I have a little feed drop for you here. I'm going to play it right now, and you can kind of check out the show, what it's going to be, what the tone's going to be like. It's kind of an irreverent comedic show. And so anyway, here you go. Here's a little sample of Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV. And I'll give you more details afterwards on how you can find it.
Jen Sheft was on the third season of The Bachelor, given the final rose by Andrew Firestone. Shortly after they broke up, ABC chose her as the third bachelorette. And from the start, she felt a give-and-take relationship with her producers. She remembers bartering with them for some time with Andrew in the fantasy suite. Alone time, off camera.
It was sort of like, if you maybe kiss each other for a little bit and give us, the shot that we want, then we'll get out of your hair. I was like, all right, let's get you guys out of here, because I just want to be with him, not everybody.
You would think being the bachelorette was better than being a contestant. Instead of competing against 25 other women for a prize, you are the prize. But that's not how Jen saw it.
When I did the bachelorette, all the pressure is on me to make a good show and to fall in love.
Dating multiple people at once didn't come naturally. It felt weird.
So for me, it was hard to pretend that I was like interested in all these people when, I didn't necessarily feel that.
Jen did develop feelings for a couple of the guys. One in particular stood out, Jerry. He was a 29-year-old art gallery director from Los Angeles. During their whirlwind romance, they went to Cape Cod and Bermuda. They danced to a private band under the stars. Jen felt a spark with Jerry, but she wasn't gunning to marry him. And the producers did not like that. They tried to convince her that she was making a big mistake.
They were like, people are invested in you. They want you to find someone. If, maybe you need to be less shallow. Maybe, they didn't tell me what to do, but they tried to beat me down and tried to make me feel like I was just gonna be looked at as like the worst person out there and very cold and unfeeling and bitchy. So if you don't choose someone, that's what's going to come across. And I don't think that's what you want, right, Jen?
Keep in mind, The Bachelorette is made in seclusion. Jen's not allowed to talk to friends or family. People you normally bounce big decisions off of. Like marriage. She was around producers all day. She confided in them. Talked to them like friends. But they were not her friends. They were making a show, a competition show that is orchestrated to end in two people getting engaged. By not wanting to choose anyone, Jen was blowing it all up.
But I really feel like they thought I was going to end the show because the show is about finding a love connection and I didn't find it. So that was really bad, really bad for the show.
So she gave in.
I didn't want to be with anybody on that final show, but I was like, okay, I'll pick Jerry.
Jen chose Jerry, but they didn't get engaged in the final rose ceremony. It was more of a commitment to continuing their love story outside of the show. But after the finale, ABC aired its After the Final Rose special, where Chris Harrison brought the couple back to dish on the season. And Jerry got down on one knee and proposed to Jen. And Jen said no.
I was called, like, old maid of the week, or people like Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View saying that I was going to be a bachelorette for the rest of my life.
It all sounds pretty sexist. But to be fair, the tabloids weren't nice to Bachelor Aaron Berge either. He was the Bachelor all the way back in season 2 in 2002. They accused Aaron of being a serial fiancé. He remembers being accosted by a mother and daughter at the doctor's office. They were angry that he broke up with his final pick, Helene.
And I just stuck my hand out and just said, "Hi, I'm Aaron. I don't think we've ever actually met." And just doing that was enough for them to be like, "Oh my gosh, we were so sorry. We don't even know you."
That's what you get when you sign up to be the Bachelor. Strangers calling you out, questioning your choices. But what about questioning the show? Like how it puts marriage on a pedestal, or why it allowed a white supremacist to be cast as a contender for the franchise's first Black bachelorette? And why does it perpetuate this idea that wanting sex makes you a slut? If we're being honest, the patriarchy is as much a part of The Bachelor as the rose ceremony. The show has long promoted that marriage is the ultimate prize for any woman. Women wait nervously for those roses.
Andy, we just said this rose.
I feel like Hannah Brown's season from 2019 was a watershed moment for the show. She was a woman of faith, but she'd call out BS when she saw it. She exposed the shame the show had around sex.
So, like, I have had sex.
Say what?
Yeah. And Jesus still loves me.
It promotes this idea that sex should be saved, that it's sacred. But for the majority of Americans, premarital sex is the norm. It's like the mansion is frozen in time. For much of its run, the franchise has been pretty homogenous, white, conservative, and for a while, evangelical. It's kind of a running joke that people of color on the show don't make it far. Just like horror movies, they're killed off fast. Back in 2016, Splinter News reported a Black contestant never made it past 5 weeks on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It took 15 years before the franchise chose a Black lead.
Yes, our new Bachelorette is Rachel Lindsay, making her the first Black Bachelor or Bachelorette in franchise history.
Rachel ticked every box. She was an attorney, came from a great family, and she's gorgeous.
I think it's absolutely accurate to say that Rachel needed to clear so many hurdles in order to be considered perfect enough to be the first Black woman cast as a lead on a Bachelor show.
That's Emma Gray. She co-hosts Here to Make Friends, a Huffington Post podcast about all things Bachelor Nation.
Women of color on this show are certainly held to a higher standard than white women are, 100%.
With that season, it was clear behind the scenes was not led by people of color, especially when a white supremacist made it onto the show.
When you have a bunch of white people making a show, and then they're like, yeah, diversity, representation's great. We just, like, put this Black woman in our show, cast a few more Black men than we normally would, but we have to talk about race. So, hey, maybe we can talk about race by, like, traumatizing this woman and putting a racist in front of her to date her.
The lack of diversity on the production side is the show's Achilles heel.
And so there you go. From The Bachelor's problematic take on gender to the way the real world casts for conflict, Spectacle unpacks the wild and hyper-real history of unscripted television, one moment at a time. We examine how the genre has changed over time, and how the country has changed along with it. And most importantly, we explore why reality TV was never a waste of time at all. Some reality TV stars are some of pop culture's biggest celebrities. It might be dismissed as guilty pleasure, lowbrow, even trash TV, but whether you like it or not, reality TV is the past 30 years of our history. In each episode of Spectacle, we'll relive the most popular moments in TV history and how these shows changed our culture. We'll explore shows like Survivor, 90 Day Fiancé, The Real Housewives, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and Queer Eye. Hosted by writer, comedian, and producer Mariah Smith, along with reality stars each week like Queer Eye's Bobby Burke, The Real World New York's Norman Corpy, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette's Jen Sheft Waterman, The Great British Baking Show's David Atherton, and The Circle US's Chris Sapphire. Not only will we have reality stars on the show, we will also have experts and fans like you, and also fans like Vulture's Brian Moylan and comedian Nicole Byer or scholar Raquel Gates. You'll nerd out on everything from problematic producing to racist casting and messed up editing, and you'll hear about some infamous episodes that were later erased from TV. Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV, is a new documentary podcast from Neon Hum Media. Season 1 covers reality TV in a way that has never been done before. So anyway, yeah, that's our pitch here from Survivor Historians and our friends at Spectacle. Again, they have this great show starting up. I really think if you like what we do, you will like what they do. And yeah, so please go and download their first episode. Check it out. You can subscribe to them just through Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Spectacle is out there. I know they're just dropping. I think today might be their first drop. So they're trying to align it with our drop. So yeah, go out there and listen to it. And again, let me know what you think. If you enjoy Spectacle, let me know. And I'll try to align with maybe more podcasts in the future, like Historians, again, because we only do Survivor, and I wish we could do more, but we can't. Like, we have people always wanting to say, hey, do Australian Survivor, do New Zealand, and I'm like, right now we can only really do U.S. Survivor, but here's another show that if you like this, you like that, go out and enjoy it, and again, thank you, Spectacle, for getting in touch with me. And once again, for the Survivor Historians, I'm Mario Lanza.
And I'm Jay Fisher.
And this is Paul Aslison.
And I'm Mike Bloom, the new guy.
And we want to thank you for listening, and we will be back soon with our concluding coverage of Survivor Nicaragua. Thanks again. Talk to you guys later. Bye.